Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. Go ahead and give us a call as the phone lines are open at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am the obsessive UK fan, Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
The fanatical Chad Payton. Good evening, guys. It is the dog days of February, and we saw that last night with some top teams going down at home. It's kind of crazy. But, hey, football is over. The Patriots got beat. So it's time to really get into basketball. You know,
I'm pumped. Eagles fly.
Fly, Eagles fly. Impressive. That was a great game.
Entertaining Super Bowl.
It was.
What was your take on the halftime entertainment, Justin Timberlake? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I didn't watch it.
What?
Yeah, I was doing something. I was watching the game, but I walked away and didn't watch the Super Bowl entertainment.
Really?
I know, but I heard it was incredible.
Well, I mean, he's a phenomenal entertainer.
He is.
I saw him in concert with Allison and Walker, our intern Walker Beck here again tonight. Mm-hmm. Saw him in Nashville, and I have to say he's up there at the top of the list as entertainer live, and I think he did a pretty good job that night. I saw some negative feedback against him about how he incorporated Prince, you know, Minneapolis
Absolutely.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what the overall – because last year was Lady Gaga.
And she did a good job last
really
year, too,
job.
If I remember right.
That entertainment stuff is
–
Yeah, she jumped from the top.
That's right.
Year.
That was pretty cool, actually.
Well, folks, again, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. This is show number 5, Studio 2. Maria, Berger, Chad, Walker, I'm Evan. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. I forgot to say one quick thing. I challenge our callers tonight with UK and Indiana kind of back and forth, struggling a little bit this year. I'm curious to know, give me a line on the game. If call in, let me know who, or let us know who you think would win between Kentucky and Indiana. And we're going to say on a neutral site, not home and home, a neutral
sure.
site. Let's get some feedback on that.
I like that. And just to give our listeners a little data so you can digest this before you call in with your predictions, or you can tweet at Red Blue Hoops your prediction. The RBH index for Indiana this week is 84.5. The index for Kentucky somehow is still 24. I don't feel like they are 24, but that's
they're
what the index
there.
Says. I don't
and
see how.
I use on the rise a little bit.
They
I
are.
Guess.
Your defense is improving.
It is.
KenPom, your defense is up to 76.
I saw you going back and forth with Assembly Call last night.
Well, he didn't
that.
Have the correct data. He was on some
he was looking
T-Rank. What is T-Rank?
I saw that. I did not. Yeah, that's what the deal was. I don't know what T-Rank
what does that mean,
is.
T-Rank?
Yeah,
no clue. Know what that is?
Yeah, I don't know.
But so, yeah, we're going to switch things up a little bit this week. I think Indiana went 1-1 since last week's show.
They
Kentucky
did.
Was 0-2. We lost at Missouri on Saturday. It was an ugly, ugly basketball game. And then we lost at home to Tennessee after leading by 2 with the ball with about a minute to go. So, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump to the phone lines right away. We
All
have
right.
our first caller for show 5.
Oh, shocking.
And guess what? Shooter, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Good evening, guys. If it isn't Evan Adolph, Corrupt Rupp, and Chad Freddie McSwain, NIT Payton.
All right. I like the intro.
I've never been called Corrupt before.
Hey, I wanted to give you a quick shout out, Evan. Kentucky's looking good here down the final stretch. This
they
season.
Are.
If Indiana can win out and Kentucky lose out, we might actually get that not invited tournament bid. Everybody's wanting to watch, and Evan, the Barbarians are at the door. The Kentucky fans are crazy. Everybody's calling for Coach Cal's head.
Not everybody. Now, hold on now.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
That's a little bit of an overstatement. I don't think everybody's calling for Calipari's head just quite yet, Shooter.
You know, this is the most probably overranked group of five stars I've ever seen at Kentucky. And that being said, I think if Rob Johnson could actually score and Knox gets into foul trouble, Indiana wins 63-61 at a neutral site.
Oh, yeah. That's one for Indiana. I like it.
One for Indiana.
Yeah.
For some reason, we can't beat Nebraska, but we can beat Kentucky. And then, Chad, to hit up what you're going to say here in a few minutes.
Okay.
On a pipe dream that you think Indiana's going to win out, I think the game at Nebraska is crucial.
I agree.
For, Indiana actually playing a meaningful game in March. So.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute. But the thing with that Nebraska game that makes it so intriguing, and I know the Ken Palms probably match up, and they're I think they're like 57 or something. What we're what'd you say we were? Like, I think we're 84 or 80 or something.
You guys right now in Ken Palmer, you're 82.
Okay, so we're fairly close there, but Nebraska actually is right in the mix to get a bid in the Big Ten or in the NCAA tournament. So they'll be playing that game like a Super Bowl at the end. So that's going to make that game even tougher than it normally would be. So we'll see.
Yeah, and you know, that being said, this is the worst Indiana team offensively we've seen in 8 or 9 years, but I still just think that this Kentucky team is severely overrated. They've underperformed at every turn based upon the talent that they have. I think Calipari's doing the best that he can. I'm really coming after Evan tonight.
That's fine, but
Indiana gets Romeo. Oh, Romeo, oh, soft Romeo. It's on. I think Indiana's instantly better than Kentucky next year. That's all I have for tonight. Guys, have a good evening. Look forward to next week.
That's a lot to digest.
Good gracious.
Well, thanks, Shooter, for the call.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much.
You guys have a good night.
You too, bub.
I'd be interested to see how that all pans out, because if this is a true bridge year for UK and we get a lot of these players back, Indiana's going to bring a lot more than Romeo to be better than us next year. I'd say that. Now a lot of talk about Morgan's getting a lot of NBA looks now. He's hitting threes consistently.
That is an intriguing part of it, no question.
Then all of a sudden, instead of the defense focus on Morgan, if Romeo picks UK, or I mean Indiana, the defense is going to be focused on him.
Is that something you know something?
No. He is not.
People are showing up for the team, especially with football now, it's crazy.
He's not going to UK at all. But
he's soft.
Shooter kept pounding on the fact that this is the most overrated Kentucky team, or they're the most overrated team this year. I don't really understand. Is he talking about their ranking in the class that came in is overrated, or the team is overrated where it stands today? I don't really understand what he was trying to get
at. I don't either. I would say that he's probably thinking the class itself.
Well, this is the least star-studded class Cal's had in a while, but it was still the second highest-rated class in the recruiting circles last year. But it is what it is. The players at this point, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was our lowest-ranked recruit, and he has become the most consistent freshman on the team.
Yep.
Knox, very inconsistent, has shown flashes that he could be a top 15 pick. But I will say this, against Missouri and Tennessee, our two losses since the last show, Knox was more of a liability than a positive influence on the floor. And then I think off the air during our pre-production meeting this week, Chad, we talked about Diallo. You know, who would have thought this time last year when Kentucky fans were pining for Diallo to actually go ahead and play during last season?
Absolutely.
Thinking he was going to be the spark to get the team, over the hump. And right now, against Tennessee, he only played 13 minutes, didn't score a point, didn't log one rebound. He has a 44-inch vertical and a 7'1" wingspan and can't get one rebound.
I was in Kentucky today, and we started talking to a couple of guys about the team, and he was the first guy they brought up, saying the same thing, giving me those same statistics. Yeah, that's a guy that Kentucky was planning on relying on coming
Absolutely.
Into the season. So that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. So right now, I think the script has completely flipped. Going back to our first show of the season, I was extremely concerned about our defense being the significant liability. And now all of a sudden, here we are into the fifth show of the season, and Kentucky's defense now is at the 17th in the country. Our offense has dropped to 57th in the country. And our offense looked absolutely awful against Missouri and Tennessee. I mean, stagnant, consistently making very poor decisions with the basketball.
Yeah.
The other night, Quade Green, in the second half, he passed it straight to a Tennessee player, kind of like Indiana guards were doing earlier this year.
Oh, absolutely. That's a Newkirk pass.
And it led to a breakaway, uncontested layup. And, you know, when you lose a game by two, that's a game-losing play, right? And Knox made, like, unfortunately, several plays like that as well. So Cal's got his work cut out for him. He's going to earn $7 million this year.
I think I told you at our pre-production meeting yesterday, we were talking about this, but don't you feel like Cal is a little bit softer spoken when he talks about this team? Because
yes.
I think he feels like they're just fragile.
They are. You know? Yeah, they're lacking confidence right now. They're lacking cohesion. Again, out of this particular freshman class at UK, two things. Number one, it's the youngest team he's had there. You've heard me say that, like, beating the drum over and over a thousand times.
Yep.
But then in addition to that, none of the stars in this core group have become true stars
mm-hmm.
as the season's gone on. Last year, we had three kids that ended up being in the lottery. We had Fox, Monk, and Bam Adebayo, and then we had three seniors around that. This year, we have this core group of freshmen, and right now, none of them are playing like lottery picks.
No doubt.
So it's a huge transition in the roster. You guys talk about Archie coming in with a depleted roster. I mean, virtually the same things happened to us, but the expectations are a lot higher because of their high school ranking. And what I've noticed in the past, talking to UK fans, as an example, last year, Bam Adebayo came out of that class as the third-ranked power forward. A lot of our fans translate that into saying he's going to be the third-best power forward in college. No, that was his high school ranking.
Yeah, yeah, and now you have four.
It doesn't mean you're the third-best
player
in that absolutely. Position in college, but at the end of the season, he ended up being that because he was – what, drafted 13th,
mm-hmm.
I think?
I mean, he's doing some things in the pros now, too.
Yeah, doing some good in there. And I think we're going back to the phone lines right now. We have Kim. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Good evening. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Mom?
Good. I can't believe they interrupted that Justin Timberlake concert for a football game.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a big JT fan, Kim?
I am. Yeah, he did good.
Yes.
But I was going to ask you, Chad, because I'm not going to pick on you, Evan, because I think you've already got picked on tonight.
No, keep it coming.
It.
I love it. I love the competition.
Okay. Well, do you think we're going to get any shooters for IU, Chad? Is he going to get some shooters in there?
Absolutely. Are you talking about, like, for next year, like the recruiting class?
Yeah,
so obviously Romeo Langford would be number one on that list, but Robert Fennessey's a point guard that can shoot the rock. Demezi Anderson's from South Bend. He is a great player, a great shooter, 6'7 guy as well. And then Jerome Hunter, who actually is the highest-ranked recruit in that class. He's currently 52, can do a little bit of everything. And then you have Jake Forster, big man that can shoot a little bit too. And hopefully you got a lot of guys that are going to improve over the summer. Al Durham, Devontae Green. So next year's team will look a lot different personnel-wise, offensively and defensively. So we're heading in the right direction, no question.
Yes. Yeah, because our defense is looking pretty good because we're holding our opponents down there pretty good.
That's exactly right. The foundation's being set. That's what Archie Miller does, great defensive teams. So we'll have that part going, and then we'll have to get some quick chemistry with the team together next year. But, yeah, I like where we're heading, no question.
Let me give you a defensive –
What about you, Evan?
Well, let me give you a stat. Let me give you a stat for Indiana defense. Going back to show number one, which was January the 11th, your KenPom defensive ranking was 147th.
Wow.
Tonight you're at 76.
Cut it in half.
So that's a great, great improvement on the defensive end for the Indiana Hoosiers. Oh, talking about Kentucky next year, well, it's hard to answer the question because there's so many undetermined factors, who will stay, who will go.
Yep.
So it'd be completely just a guess on my part, but the indications now is that the majority of this team will come back, and then we have three five-star guards coming in. We have Emmanuel Quickley, who's a true point guard. And then we have two shooting guards, Keldon Johnson from Oak Hill Academy, who's the best player in that recruiting class for us. And we have the kid that decommitted from Wisconsin, Tyler Hero, 6'3", 6'4", shooting guard. It's dropping about 43 a game right now. So we have some guard help coming next year.
With that last name, I mean, he's destined for greatness.
I hope so. Yeah.
Quickley.
I like Quickley as a point guard.
Quickley and Hero.
Yeah. Quickley and Hero. So, we always have a we can always at least have an optimistic future with Cal Perry as our coach because he brings in new talent, but each year is a little bit different based on who stays and who goes.
And next year, year five, and hopefully we'll be playing. There's very potential, right?
There is a chance that we will play next year, if not next year, for sure the following.
Well, I'll watch Kentucky that night for sure. Okay, you guys have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Great. Thanks for the call, Kim. Really appreciate that. Again, we are live here at Studio 2, WNIN. Phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. I'm going to say something real quick about my mom. She's kind of funny on we actually been catching these Kentucky games late, and when they're getting ready to lose, she will call me.
Oh my
she
God.
Will call me at like 10:15 and say, like, hey, are you watching this? And I'm like, yeah.
The Peyton Kentucky hotline.
It is. It is.
Well,
kinda nice.
I'm still waiting for that dinner, Kim. That's all I know. I think it's just hearsay that you're a good cook, but we'll see. Hey, also another special announcement. We've been talking about this a little bit. We'll talk about it earlier tonight. Live remote. It'll be the first live remote in Red Blue Hoops history coming up Thursday, February the 22nd. That's 2 weeks from tonight. Live at Bar Louie. That's 7700 Eagle Crest Boulevard on the east side of Evansville. We will have a live microphone.
Yes, Walker.
For the fans and attendants to interact with us during the show. You can ask your questions. You can pick on Chad. You can pick on me. We can both take it. So looking forward to the live remote, Bar Louie, February 22nd. Yes, sir.
All right, I guess that. Can you take a guess how many Big Ten teams had a top 100 non-conference schedule in KenPom?
I'm going to say three.
Top
five.
100. Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
Wow. Well, there you go. I like that.
So we're picking on the Big Ten.
Yeah. It hurts. It's a way tournament.
It does.
Absolutely. It does. That's a great point.
Chad, we talk about this a lot. Indiana's non-conference strength of schedule is still sitting at 266. They got to improve that under Archie.
I don't
have to improve it.
I agree with you. I still don't. I guess it's, again, we've talked about this 1,000 times, but I think it's the cupcakes that they play are the sub 300 teams.
Yes, that kills you.
And they need to get the 150s or something.
150 to 225. There actually is a matrix that tells there's a range there. I think it's 150 to 225 is the sweet spot. Because right now, again, your non-conference strength of schedule 266, but your overall strength of schedule is now up to 29th.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That non-conference, the range, I guess, of who we play is just crazy because I think we play a 325 team, and then you play a Duke.
Right.
And then we play Butler, and then we play good teams, but we don't play enough of those 150 to 225s, I guess.
Now, conversely, again, Kentucky's youngest team and the youngest team in college history is number 10 strength of schedule, and we're not playing well, so we're losing a lot of games. Tell you what, folks, going to our first break. We'll be right back. Red Blue Hoops, go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on your WNIN 88.3, Evansville, Henderson, Owensboro, Berger, Maria, Chad, Walker, myself, Evan.
Allison?
We have a special guest. What is that room called back there, by the way, Maria?
Green room.
It's the
green room.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we have Allison Beck in the green room tonight. We're going down to Brew Burger to watch the Murray State Racers play Austin Peay for Racers alumni watch party, so... You're welcome to join us, Chad, to watch some really good basketball.
I might have to do that,
yeah. Before we went to break last time, we're talking about the live remote and some other things coming up. Chad, crazy night in college basketball. Well, it's been a crazy season. Last night, I think, was a perfect example of that. We had three of the top seven teams lose and at home. Villanova lost to St. John's.
Yes.
And the St. John's win at Villanova.
It's the biggest win all year, isn't it?
Set a historical mark. First time in college basketball history that a team with a losing record beat the number one and number four teams consecutively.
It's insane.
Yeah. Purdue lost Ohio State.
Yep.
And going back to what I've been talking about since the beginning of the season, I think Purdue's kryptonite is playing against smaller teams. Western Kentucky beat them. Tennessee beat them. Indiana, smaller team, played them very, very tough.
Sure.
Rutgers is a tiny team, like a high school team, almost beat them, right?
They did. They did.
And then Ohio State, again, great team, but a little bit on the smaller side. So I think Purdue, my prediction, second round, third round, they're out.
Well,
in the tournament.
And Painter was getting hammered on Twitter last night, well, too. So you talked about that in the past. He hasn't really won a big game. And Purdue's just – they're noted for not showing up.
He has not done it in March, that's for sure.
No doubt about it.
All right, so there are six SEC teams that have top 100 non-conference schedules.
Okay, so let's review this. So the Big Ten has zero teams with a top 100 non-conference strength of schedule, and the SEC conference – has six teams with a top 100. Well, that points to the SEC has been down in recent years in basketball.
They have.
For sure.
Yeah.
This year, I think they're getting the national notoriety as being the strongest conference.
Yeah.
I think Lenardi, Bracketology, has eight teams in now from the SEC. I think Cal Perry was politicking, asking for nine. But Rick Barnes, Tennessee, said that they should have 10, which I haven't studied it that close.
How many teams are in the SEC?
Eight.
No. How many teams total in the conference?
14.
Okay.
Wow, that'd be
71%.
That'd be a haul. That'd be a big haul. But we haven't really touched on a lot of the games. Again, Kentucky lost two since last week. Lost at Missouri, 60-69. We had 18 points in the first half. 31% shooting for the game.
Mm-hmm.
God, it was just brutal. With that being said, we cut it to one in the second half, and at that point, I think Knox had three straight plays that allowed them to go on an 8-0 run and push it back out.
Yeah.
Wasn't fun to watch. Ended up losing that game. A lot of selfish play in that game. After they went on the 8-0 run, Missouri, to go up 9, at that point, Chad, I saw Kentucky driving the ball, which is what they're designed to do, drawing the defense to him, but then not kicking to the open shooter. And that just breaks my heart to see that. But, again, I think it's a lot of that youth. They just break under certain situations.
To that point, I was watching that game last night or two nights ago. I think it was Quad A Green stole it, and Vitale even's like, give it up, give
it
up.
Knox.
Or was that Knox?
Yeah, Knox stole it on the right side and went down there, and he scored an and one, but he had Quad A and Jared Vanderbilt wide open.
There was another one, though, where not Vanderbilt actually got the board and laid it in.
Yeah, Quad A drove, and then Vanderbilt tipped it in.
Okay. But the one that was really the ones Kentucky fans were bowling about was Kevin Knox.
He could have dished it.
Oh, Vanderbilt would
have dunk.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Knox again had the end one. He was fortunate, but I just don't like seeing that. And
I agree.
It was funny
that
during the Tennessee game, again, another loss. We lost at home. But Tennessee, folks, they're top 10 team now. They're ranked number 5 defensively. So we lost by 2. I know losing at home is not good, but it's not like we got ran out of the building. Once again, no movement on offense, poor passing, small details, mistakes. Kentucky is now 0-7 this season when they have a 5-minute scoring drought. So during the game, I think it was the first half, I look over and Walker put his leg down and said, we lost. This is in the first half, okay?
Oh, because they had that
I
5 minutes.
I said, what? He goes, well, just went 5 minutes without scoring, 0-7. Conversely, we're 17-0 when we don't do that.
Well, that's a pretty good data point then. It's like when Humphrey hits a jump shot last year, right? When he hit a
exactly.
shot early, you guys won the game.
They were undefeated until the North Carolina game.
Yeah.
But go back to the phone lines. I think we have Wayne on the phone. Wayne, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan. Hey, John. How you guys doing tonight?
Awesome.
Good. What's up, big dog?
Well, hey, I really can't even relish the fact that, you know, Kentucky's lost two games as bad as IU's been this year. But I will say this, you know, in the Kentucky fans that I'm around, which I have a lot of them around me, they seem pretty disgruntled, not necessarily with Coach Cal, but with the players and really their selfish attitudes. Evan, what's your thought on that?
Well, I was just speaking
kind
of that
right
before we took to the
yeah.
– and I'm seeing it more recently. I think it really stood out during the Missouri game. I think that's where it stood out the most for me this entire season. They've actually talked to the players during their interviews, and the coaches continually say that these are good kids. They don't think they're selfish. They're just not making the right decisions under a lot of stress and pressure. And it goes back to the youth model. is what I can point to. But it's becoming more and more frustrating. And Wayne, you've heard us talk on the show before. The UK fan base is not being very patient with this team. And as I talked about every show, I came into the season with a very patient outlook coming into this.
You did.
I predicted double-digit losses. We're headed there very quickly. The key right now is defense has gotten really good, but the offense has fallen behind. Can he flip that offense between now and March and then also not lose too many games and be on the bubble? Because right now we're a 5 seed, but if we lose out, I mean, we're going to be in trouble.
I projected, looking at your schedule, that you guys would go 20-11. That's what I was thinking.
Yep. We may land there.
Yeah.
End up a 7 or 8 seed.
Chad, from your standpoint, I mean, obviously IU's got we got 5 games left.
Yep.
Of our season. I mean, what's the thought that you think if we're 4-5, we could win 4 of those next 5? And I think it's a possibility we're kind of in the weaker part of the schedule.
I agree.
17-13.
Yep.
And we'd win a game or two in the NCAA or in the Big Ten tournament. What's the thought about NIT? You think we have a possibility to get in there and have a shot of, you know, playing at that level, at least this year with this team?
I think so. I think if we went 17-13, the last game of the year for us is Ohio State. So if they keep doing what they're doing, that's a highly ranked win that we can get at home. And then if we went into the Big Ten and won a game or two and we're 19-14, 18-14, I think we're in the NIT at that point. I guess provided that some goofy things don't happen in the tournaments that a couple years ago that kept the Evansville Aces out of it when they had such a great record because top teams were getting beat and they get automatic bids in the NIT. But Indiana, I think, can get there. And obviously that would be a huge step for them with this team. So I'm still not holding out hope. I'm holding out hope for the big dance still.
Well, I think the fact that, you know, with this team, I mean, if we would get to the NIT with the lack of talent that we have, I mean, we're not on Kentucky's level with talent.
No way. Yeah, no question.
But at the same point, with the talent that we got coming in, if we would get Romeo, I mean, next year, I mean, whether Juwan Borden would come back or not, I think he really got a chance of being in that top 10, you know, echelon next year, which takes us out of the mid-major, you know, round that, you know, Evan comes
to. Well, I had one of your fellow Indiana fans this week. They wanted me to challenge you guys. You keep saying the talent you have coming in next year, you only have one recruit of the 4 that's ranked in the top 100.
It's a top 20 recruiting class right now, though, statistically.
Compared to the players that, I know ESPN has these ratings. I kind of get all that. But with the players that we got coming in, I mean, at least the main thing for Indiana to be successful, and I would challenge you, Evan, to go back and look at our resume. When Indiana's been good, we've had at least anywhere from 3 to 5 players from the state of Indiana.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, it's a great state to recruit from.
And this year, I mean, we've already got Anderson. Obviously, we've got Tennessee. We'll still have Roberts back. I mean, yeah, I know he's a glue guy. And then you bring in a Romeo Langford. Now we're in that 4 rating that we've not had for the last couple of years. That hurts us.
I agree.
And, Wayne, back to your earlier comment about your upcoming schedule, I did some homework last night. And you guys have an opportunity.
We do.
I mean, I'm envious of your schedule because your next 4 games, your average ranking of opponents is 82. So there's an opportunity before you guys right now.
The previous 4 game stretch, though, the average was 7 or something like that.
It was pretty rough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But now's your chance.
Well, it is.
And then you think about the fact that, you know, with the play, you know, on a Saturday and then have to play a road game on
right.
Monday, the turnaround. No kidding. I mean, ridiculous.
Those turnaround. I mean, the Big Ten, and one of the things that Chad and I talk about, is just killing themselves with this schedule. I mean, the teams are just getting beat to pieces because they're doing these two-day turnarounds where you play at home or you play on the road and then you go back and play at home or vice versa. I mean, in 3 days. I mean, that's a lot of traveling, especially if you play at Indiana, then you got to go to New York.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're doing this to have that tournament in New York, which nobody will be there. We'll see, but I guarantee it's not going to be a packed house out there to watch the Big Ten tournament in New York City. So,
good game, good time, guys. I'll talk to you later. Won't be there next week. I'll be traveling. So
you'll be at the live remote, though, right?
I will be at the live remote.
All right,
that's awesome.
Little face-to-face action out there.
Hey, Wayne, thank you for the call. Great, appreciate it. Walker, we have.
Thanks, man.
All right, so let's say Indiana does make a good run at the end. All
yes,
right.
Yes.
So the Big Ten tournament, a week early. All right, so let's say, I guess right here, I guess you have Syracuse, Marquette, UCLA, I guess Nebraska's in the Big Ten. But let's say, so their tournament's a week later, and they make, let's say, a good little win. Does that bump them up, IU, with them being a week later, you think? I mean, in the minds of people?
I don't know. Yeah,
Indiana's right there on the line.
On the bubble, you're saying?
Yeah.
In those later tournaments?
Yeah.
And you get to see, you have them more fresh in your mind?
Yeah. Well, the committee claims that doesn't happen, but we'll see. That committee work's always questionable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have a long history of having some committee indigestion since Cal Perry's been at UK. But anyway, with that being said, discussion points. You mentioned that Bob Knight's back in the news, Chad.
He is. For a couple of reasons. Number one, the ESPN documentary Bob Knight 30 for 30 is going to be airing this spring. So
is it after basketball season or during basketball season?
I think it's going to be after the tournament.
Okay.
I thought. So, like, when was that one and done with Cal last year?
Right after the Final Four.
I thought so too.
Mid late April.
That's when I think the Knight
one and not
is.
Done.
One and not done. Sorry, yeah. I said one done. So,
what's the title of this going to be? The General.
Throw your chair.
I don't even know. I haven't seen that yet. But there's a lot of people saying, they don't like it. And they're like, it's just going to show IU in a bad light.
It's focused on the last days of his career at IU, right?
It is.
So it's going to be hot.
Well,
right?
It is, and it will be. But my rebuttal is I like it. Kind of like Trump, like if you're in the news, it's good, right? So I don't know. We'll see. And then secondly, Knight is actually he's speaking at Bloomington North in a couple of weeks, and the proceeds go back to the school.
Okay.
But that's the closest he's been to Indiana University
in a long time.
So I think some of the people up there are excited about it. I could care less. I'm done with Bob.
How's his health? Do you know?
I have not heard anything. I don't know.
Some suspicion about there being some health issues there. I was just wondering if any of that's accurate or not.
He probably wishes he already wished everybody else was dead last
year.
That remember
was brutal.
That?
Good gracious. How do you say that?
He's an awful person. Awful.
Well, folks, segment two has flown by. We're going to head to break. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. We need some tweets.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank helps businesses achieve their financial goals by offering consulting and business lending and cash flow optimization for a wide range of industries. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on your WNIN 88.3, Evansville, Henderson, Owensboro. Phone lines are open, folks. We've had very few predictions on the hypothetical Kentucky-Indiana game. Again, that would be the 84th ranked. Again, this is the index ranking, not the – this is our special
RBH,
index.
RBH, yeah.
84 versus 24. But the way Kentucky's offense is playing and – Indiana's improved defense, it could be a battle.
I'm going to always predict that Indiana's going to win, but if I had to pick the line, I would say Kentucky on a neutral site would be -5.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Walker, what do you think? You like to bet a little bit?
If Probably three. All right, so which arena would you like to see it outside this region? Like if you had to play it?
Which, what do you consider the region, like Indy and Louisville, outside of that?
Yeah, the states bordering us pretty much.
I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be great just to have it right in Indianapolis.
Well, I know that, but just, all right, NCAA tournament. Like,
Ford Center.
The Ford Center.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, the way our teams are playing it, maybe it's all the fans we could draw, about 11,000. Now, we sold out there tonight for Tennessee game, so we still draw them.
I liked when we used to play at Freedom Hall. I think I went to one of those games back in the day.
I went to several of them. It was awesome.
It was a good atmosphere.
All right, folks, again, Red Blue Hoops, phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Intern Walker is not earning his pay tonight because we have had zero Twitter traffic. Last week we had like 40 Twitters.
He asks some good questions, tweets. Though, doesn't he?
He does. He does some great questions.
He does. He's always questions that make you think.
Since our last show, something very unusual occurred for the UK basketball team under the guidance of John Calipari. We've had a player getting a little bit of off-court trouble. That's Ty Winyard, the kid from New Zealand. I think he is a redshirt sophomore. And he was suspended indefinitely for violation of team rules. And then it later came out he was at an on-campus fraternity party.
Okay.
And some sort of altercation occurred. And I still don't understand this part. Ty Winyard, 6'10", 270.
He's a big man.
He's a monster. Supposedly, someone posing as his bodyguard had a gun on his person.
Was it Brad Calipari?
It was. Brad Calipari. No, he can't shoot. Remember, he wouldn't have a gun.
That's true. 12%. That's money.
Oh, goodness. So,
nice work.
Here's the deal with Cal. I mean, he's had very, very few, if more than one, maybe two off-the-court issues during his 9 seasons at UK, which is way better than what we had under Tubby. Way, way better. So he's kept everything running smooth. And if you're obviously he's going to have a little bit more tolerance with, like, a star player on certain situations. But, man, if you're a kid that's not getting any clock, the last thing you need to do is cause attention to yourself for something this stupid.
It's weird.
It's just a strange story.
That's kind of where you start losing games, players get suspended, you kind of start going towards that mid-major direction.
My goodness gracious.
Next thing you know, you're going to be making the NIT.
This mid-major thing stirred the pot with these Indiana fans.
It did.
That's all data-based, dude. It's not any more than data. But so anyway, Ty Winyard. Okay, question. So for that occurrence, again, supposedly he's at a party, his best friend, quote-unquote bodyguard, had a weapon. He's been suspended indefinitely. Do you think he should be kicked off the team permanently?
That's his first occurrence with anything?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, I don't think so.
The thought is that he'll never play again for UK.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Cal's like, I don't need this kind of stuff here. I don't know. It's not been official yet, but the thought process at this point is that it's doubtful he'll play there again.
Well, and give Cal – is he underperforming too, by the way?
Well,
gives him an out to rid of him and get somebody else in there.
He was starting getting some playing time, but he was at a log jam at that position. You know, we had Winyon Gabriel, P.J. Washington, Nick Richards, Sasha Kalia Jones. So he was behind four players. Then he had a back injury. So then he wasn't playing, and then this occurs. So maybe it's Calipari's own form of spring cleaning.
Gives him an out.
Yep.
Question for you guys.
Yes.
Winyon Gabriel.
Yes.
He start?
No.
Not anymore.
He gets a lot of minutes, doesn't he?
Man.
He probably plays 19, 20 minutes a game.
And to me, it seems like he's in the game, though, late.
Yes. He trusts him.
Okay, so my question back to you on that is, he's kind of an offensive liability, though, isn't he?
He's one of our best three-point shooters.
But does he take a lot of shots?
Take a lot of shots.
Yeah, I don't know.
But right now, though, I mean, I think half the team's offensive liability.
Right.
But he's averaging 1.5 blocks per game, 7 rebounds a game.
So he's kind of a glue guy for you.
He's no question about it. Calipari will overlook. He makes about 1 to 2 mistakes a game. Gabriel does. Okay.
Yep.
Calipari overlooks it because Gabriel does one thing consistently, energy. He always plays extremely hard, and he has made some key hustle plays, kind of like McRoberts has for Indiana. this season to help us win basketball games. So that's
why
he's playing.
I can appreciate that, yeah.
Going to Twitter, we have our first tweet of the night from good old Sam the Possum Wrench. What's it going to take to get a bracketology segment on the show? But here's why. Okay, Sam and Walker have their own bracketology that they do.
I heard that.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I have to check that out.
Just depends how much time we have in the future. If our teams keep losing, but Indiana's going to keep winning with that easy schedule. Kentucky will probably keep losing.
Oh, boy.
We're going to the phone lines. Yes, we're going back to the Red Blue Hoop hotline. We have Danny. Welcome to tonight's show. Go ahead. Hello, Danny. Danny, there?
I'm a first-time caller, and I got several comments. One, I don't know how you guys are going to take this, but Indiana and Kentucky both stink right now.
Okay, yeah.
So just, I listened to that Kentucky-Tennessee game. Kentucky should have won that game, and they didn't. They lost the Missouri game. They probably deserved to lose it because they never was in that game.
Well, we got it to one in the second half, even after shooting, you know, in the first half about 20%, but then we just didn't make the plays. Yeah, I agree. Hey, Danny, if you can, keep your mouth close to your speaker on your phone, all right?
What I'm wondering, though, I really, as it stands right now, I don't see Indiana or Kentucky. Well, Kentucky might, because if you're a big-name school, you can lose 12 games and still go to the Big Dance.
Oh, yeah, we're still right now holding in as a 5 seed.
Yeah.
And, again, a lot of that is due to our resume. We have 3 top 25 wins. We're playing the number 10 schedule in the nation. So we still have a little latitude there, but – with the remaining schedule, with the remaining schedule being as tough as it is, and it's going
to
be a challenge.
Can make it to the NIT. It's just like what was it 2 years ago? The Evansville Aces had such an outstanding record.
They did,
and they didn't get to go nowhere. And that really kicked me off because I thought they should have, at the very least, been in the NIT.
They should have. What happened that year was the NIT has automatic bids for the teams that win their conference but lose their conference tournament. And that year, so many of those things happened, which hurt University of Evansville. Because you're right, I 1,000% agree that team should have been in the NIT.
Right.
Well,
and that really hurt when the Aces lost that 2-point game to Northern Iowa.
Absolutely.
In the championship game.
At the buzzer. Hurt. Yep, that was terrible.
Because had they won that, they would have been in the Big Dance, I think.
That's right. They would have got the automatic bid, winning Arch Madness.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, we really appreciate the call. Thanks for your support of Red Blue Hoops. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, man. Awesome. First-time caller.
Going back to Twitter, I don't think that's accurate. I think we've had Danny before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Okay.
This season, in fact. I'll check my notes here a minute. Going back to Twitter. Walker's finally earning his pay. This is Wayne. I guess it's the same Wayne that called in.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Says, Evan, is there any chance this UK team could miss the NCAA tournament this year? Could it get that bad? Well, based on our schedule, folks, our remaining schedule is brutal. So if we lost out, yes, we could miss the tournament. Absolutely. We're at Texas A&M this Saturday. We're at Auburn, top 10 team next Wednesday. Now, A&M, folks, they've been an up-and-down team this year. They came out of the gate 11-1. They lost their first 5 conference games, one of which was to us at Rupp Arena.
That.
They've now won, I think, 5 of 6, and most recently won at Auburn last night. And A&M didn't have one of their best players, but I think Auburn had their full – complement of their roster, except for the 2 kids that are suspended, Austin Wiley and Purifoy. But A&M is smoking hot. So after those 2 road games, we come back to Rupp and host Alabama, who just smoked Florida last week.
And Oklahoma.
They held Florida to 50 points at Florida. Then we go to Arkansas.
That's not easy. That's
so, again, those are our next 4 games, folks. I mentioned earlier, Indiana's next 4 games, your average ranked of the opponents is 82. Kentucky's next four opponents are average ranked 32. So we could be up against the wall here with our offense being so poor right now.
As I told all the UK fans I know, thank God for your sake that you beat West Virginia and you beat Vanderbilt. Otherwise, it could be really,
really, really bad.
Walker. So I got a text from Sarisa Gray.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we have a text question.
And she asked what my mom's favorite team would be outside of the state of Kentucky. My mom said, no other team would I cheer for other than the Kentucky Wildcats.
All right, Allison, sticking
true. What about Murray State?
What about Murray State, though? Yeah.
Yes, she would.
She has Murray State swag on, I think. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the question, Sharisa Gray.
I like it.
Sharisa's an IU grad, Castle grad.
Kentucky
and,
fan.
And I'm challenging her right here and now on Show 5 from Studio 2 to call into the show. Come on, folks. Speaking of calls, we're going back to the line. Alan, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Thanks, guys. Hoosier fan here, so that's about all I've got.
All right.
Seven of the past eight games, the Hoosiers have shot less than 65% from the free throw.
Uh-huh.
Whew.
They've never been that bad.
Nope.
Why do you think that is?
Maybe the very first year that Green was there with the group that he had, possibly.
Alan, I think you raise a great point and something I've been talking about all season and finally starting to get some traction with some Indiana fans to know. Someone on Crean's staff was excellent.
Traction with me on that. I've thrown fits all year over their free throws.
Now, what I'm saying is getting traction on my theory that Crean had someone on his staff that was excellent at teaching shooting the basketball.
Shot doctors.
Because you have kids in this year's team that shot much better under Crean than they are now.
Yeah, they're underperforming, no question.
Right. I don't dispute that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the one super big highlight that they have this year, and it's just now taking hold, I can't wait to see what it brings in the future, but that is plain and simple defense.
No question.
You know, that's their big uptick right now.
Yeah, I think that's foundation.
The loan out of those last eight games, the lone decent, and it still wasn't great, but the decent free throw game they had was Michigan State at 72%, 18 of 25.
I saw that, yep.
And one other thing to throw in, I've liked him, never really bragged that much about him. Most people didn't like him. He does make some mistakes. Can't hit a layup at times, but you got to give some kudos to Freddie.
yes, I agree,
I'll
Alan.
I'll get on my soapbox here in a second about that. I agree 100%.
Here's another great thing that I got to bring up about him. He had, against Michigan State, 16 rebounds.
Yeah.
When was the last time in Big Ten play an IU player had or exceeded 16 rebounds?
Kent Benson, 1976.
I'm going to go with DJ White.
Oh, yeah, DJ White. Yes, yes, good one.
Do you know the
correct. DJ White, 22 rebounds.
Gets Michigan.
In 2008.
Yeah. I remember
good
that
call.
Game. He was a monster. Yep. He was a monster.
Yep. Okay, guys, have a good one. Love listening to you when I get to. Not all the time, but you're on it.
Thanks, awesome. Man. Good feedback. Good questions.
Hey, guy, that you got there.
I love it.
No, Alan, thanks for the call, and thanks for your support of Red Blue Hoops. It's the callers that really make this show so much so enjoyable for us here working on the show. But great
I gotta
call.
Can I throw a couple things out real quick? Alan made some great points. Freddie McSwain, I tweeted it the other night. If you follow me on Twitter and you follow the show, you know that I've been all over Freddie McSwain.
You're rough on
your
players.
I'm tough on him. But last a couple nights ago, I got on Twitter and I said, Freddie, you're working your tail off. I'm done harassing you. Keep doing your thing. And to Alan's point, he had 16 boards. The dude's playing hard. I want to throw this stat out at you. This is just unreal to me. It's like we're in an alternate universe or something now. But Indiana out-rebounded Michigan State 53-29. Indiana does not have a player over 6'8". Michigan State historically leads the country in rebounding. And then that's bad enough, right? But take a guess on the offensive rebounds, what that was, Evan.
For Indiana?
The margin, yeah.
Offensive?
Indiana totaled versus what Michigan
I'd
had.
Say you guys had a plus 7.
28-4.
And you guys lost.
And we lost. Yeah, I know. That was the bullet point there.
Good gracious. That's probably one of the first. I mean, I can't even imagine that.
So my point to Hoosier Nation is I think the foundation is being set. We are playing hard. And the basketball gods know that. So eventually you start to break through. And I'm hoping with this game, this little set of games here, we can make a nice little run to finish the year off.
A.K.A. Easy Street.
Nothing's easy with this team.
I know, I'm just kidding.
It's like you guys, too. I mean, nothing's easy this year.
No, brutal.
Yeah.
It's funny because we've been talking about the SEC improving their conference overall. So they've gone out, hired better coaches, doing a much better job recruiting. Now, all of a sudden, they are the best conference in the nation, and we're hitting them with our youngest team ever.
Yeah, kind of the perfect storm there.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, you got to make the bed, right? You're right.
Yeah. I mean,
reap what you sow.
Yeah, you
type of deal. So the season's been crazy, and the SEC is definitely following suit. The SEC tournament conference tournament will be in St. Louis this year, which is an odd location, just like you guys are in Madison Square Garden and the Big Apple. We're doing that because Missouri was a recent add to the conference, so we're over in St. Louis. But I can't imagine what the SEC tournament's going to be like this year. Because typically it's always about two or three teams that you know are going to make the finals. I think this year
you could have a big contingent.
Six, eight different teams
yeah.
I think could make the finals this year.
I was going to say, you know, teams have like shirt outs and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Texas A&M just announced they're having a BTHO Kentucky t-shirts.
BTHO. Beat the heck out of Kentucky shirt night.
Yeah.
Cal Perry says that their games lead the nation in T-shirt sales because every road game we go to, they're passing out free T-shirts. You know, yellow out, black out, white out, whatever.
Well, in Kentucky.
Everybody's Super Bowl.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, they're on the ropes a little bit. Everybody wants to beat Kentucky. So,
absolutely. I would, too, if I was an opposing fan.
Yeah.
Definitely. Upcoming games, I've already mentioned, we have at A&M, Texas A&M, and at Auburn, your upcoming games. Real quick, Chad, we've got 30 seconds.
So, yes, we play Minnesota tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1. I think it's a winnable game. And then Wednesday night, Illinois at home. So, very winnable games there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Folks, we really appreciate you guys listening and tuning in.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And we'll be back next Thursday. Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
We'll see you guys next week live from Studio 2.
And then done.
Live remote in 2 weeks.
We're out.
Good night.
Production support for Red Blue Hoops is provided by Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans. We'll be right back.